Flying Talkers 2021, brought to you today by the people of ATC, from Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere, ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. This is Jeffrey Aaron. What became small in 2020? You know, we've always got big challenges. We have the pandemic, we have our businesses, we have our families, we have our lives. The one common denominator is we're all human beings. 2020, in a year of big challenges, what became small? The whole world has become smaller, a place to live in it, with everybody confined to their space, be it at home or office, and virtually nowhere else to go. The internet had already shrunk the world, and now COVID online shopping, online banking, online virtual meetings, so much, so even online court hearings on legal matters and so on. The following too has been a reality, at least for some of us, the direct effect of diminishing business. Office spaces will or already have become smaller as the work from home concept is perhaps here to stay in many facets of our business. Staff requirements too have become smaller as many of us have realized that we were in fact overstaffed. When the going is good, we employ people, but the reverse is generally always ignored or overlooked. But not this time. Companies have downsized considerably during these difficult times. Reluctantly, salaries too have become smaller. Our very own needs have become smaller, as in many parts of the world, at least as far as we're concerned. There's nowhere to go. And last but not least, and most importantly, cargo space has become small as capacities have been pulled virtually overnight from the marketplace. And that's been going on all year. Okay, that's what got small. But it's 2021. What's gotten big? As vaccinated populations soar past 15% in some places, all of a sudden, aircraft are back in the skies. I actually saw some airplanes taking off and landing at JFK today, here in New York. Wow, what a concept. And that means more belly lift from the roaring generation of aircraft, many of which, as we all know, are hidden freighters. And now we hear there's more space available for cargo. With added capacity coming online, will that mean rates will level off a bit? Probably could take that one to the bank in the old supply and demand game. As things slowly get back and bigger, means business slowly returning to normal. Unfortunately, the recent push by some events planners and publishers are trying to accelerate that process, trying to juke up their bottom lines, we guess, after a 14 or a 16 or an 18-month revenue drought to fill the time between now and 2022, which makes the most sense to anybody who's really thinking about it, as a way to plan out what you're going to do with your event and your promotional and your push back to normal face-to-face meetings and so forth on the broad scale. But you know something? We keep hearing there's another one of those endless, boring, untrackable webinars where people get together and postage stamp headshots and pontificate about things from their desks. That seems to not want to end. You know, the Zoom calls and the webinars started when we were all in the jackpot and there didn't seem to be any other options, and they were new and we tried them out. But I don't see an evolutionary change in the way these events are held or who the people are that are putting them on. Sometimes it's an announcer. I mean, Turkish Airlines put on a webinar with a guy who's the most amiable guy in the world that knows about bupkis, about air cargo. Nice guy, got a big audience, don't know what it means to the air cargo industry that's trying to do business, trying to save its failing businesses in some aspects. But this unfortunate, nasty pop-up of the dreaded COVID in India and Sri Lanka and parts of Europe means we still have a way to go to think about live shows and trade events, no matter what those otherwise, let's give them some credit, well-meaning hucksters are calling and writing about. They're calling to tell you to get together, but any time between the remaining 6 months of 2021 and 2022, frankly, doesn't make any sense. Let's do give Turkish Cargo some credit for putting on a good show. Despite all that holdbacks there might have been, it was a good presentation. And I feel a bit for Turkish Cargo. I hear that IATA World Cargo Symposium event later this year that has not been canceled is still in play, despite the fact that Turkish, we hear, according to our sources, wanted to back out, but was told if they did back out, they'd lose their money. I mean, are we supposed to believe that a trade show company that IATA hired or IATA would hold people hostage in a pandemic situation by insisting they come into a trade show that might be dangerous for them? Last we heard, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, in early June 2021, vast portions of Turkey are still closed because of the COVID. So you got to feel for people in this business, and you got to insist on some common sense take hold right now. If you don't, hey, anything can happen. Slight programming note, we went electric in Flying Typers this issue. You can check that out in your inbox or at www.aircargonews.com. We went electric as we did here last week, noting that Saturday, June 5th was the 47th World Environment Day. We thought we'd just add this to our program notes here. This is what you can do in USA this summer, and truly, come to think of it, anywhere in the world to help the environment as we emerge from COVID-19 lockdowns. Anybody can volunteer, and volunteering can make a difference to where you live. Get out of your comfort zone by volunteering in USA for, say, the National Park Service, or stay local by volunteering at a local farmer's market or the equivalent elsewhere. Any way you choose to participate, you'll feel the positive impact of getting out of the house and caring for the planet. On the airline side, Qatar Airways reinforced its outstanding comprehensive sustainability program just last week, June 4th, to protect the planet. Qatar Airways Group said that it is dedicated to environmental leadership across all of its entities, including airline, airport operations, air cargo, aviation and catering services, retail, outlets, and more. You could check out the entire shot list at www.QatarAirways.com. It's in their press release section. It's quite a thing. But just for a moment, while efforts continue and attention is focused on concern for the global environment, here are some numbers that underscore the challenge that we all face in 2021. 90 billion tons is the number of resources extracted from the Earth every year. 7.8 billion, the number of people populating Mother Earth. 4.1 billion, the number of consumers in the world. 5.6 billion, the number of consumers expected by 2030. 70% is the percentage of the world's resources currently being overused. 2.12 million, check that, 2.12 billion tons, the number of waste dumped every year. 50 million tons, the number of e-waste produced every year. 7.8 trillion, the value of the global production of synthetic chemicals. 2050 is the year when the world population is expected to be too big to feed. 2070 is the year when coral reefs are expected to be gone altogether. Now, we're not making this stuff up. This is from the people at the World Environmental Day. Something to think about as we move forward into our super summer 2021. This is Jeffrey Aaron. You know, while most of the conversation lately has been centered on what the world of airlines, forwarders, and other players in air cargo will look like moving ahead, here are some thoughts from Dan Muscatello, an expert in airport cargo and logistics strategy and planning. Dan brings an impressive portfolio of more than 40 years of experience in both the public and private sectors. Dan has been a development strategist for both the business and physical planning of facilities and air cargo complexes, and the integration of ancillary and supporting logistics services, and what makes airport air cargo operationally and financially feasible. So here we are in the midst of the crisis of the COVID-19 global challenge. Here from an airport air cargo perspective, Dan, the airport cargo man, plane talks, some questions and answers, confronting airports and happy landings financially and strategically. Dan Muscatello said the main issue for airports is that so much of future air cargo operations is beyond control. It's important to note that airports in general and airport organizations have developed detailed plans for how to protect personnel involved with the handling of cargo. But the problem in the changing logistics landscape is that they're now facing something completely different. Now they have to figure out if and how cargo will arrive at the airport. Airlines have reduced their passenger operations right now currently by 90% or more, and major routes have been scaled back. The result is many of these remaining flights are extremely dependent on belly cargo for revenue, and a number of passenger aircraft, as we all know, have been converted to freighters. While we all believe that these situations will begin to reverse themselves, it may be several years, Dan Muscatello said, before things begin to settle into a new normal. The airlines have recently been allocated, as we know, $25 billion in USA, part grant, part loan, to bail out and help with their recovery. Airports that are, of course, dependent on the carriers for revenue received $10 billion in Federal Airport Improvement Plan, AIP, grants in the $2 trillion stimulus package passed in March. These funds have been distributed to airports utilizing existing formula. The American Association of Airport Executives indicated that the infusion is assisting airports that are reeling from the impacts of the coronavirus and the precipitous decline in travel that has occurred in a matter of just a few short weeks and has continued for all these months. The money helps retain staff, avoid defaults on bonds, deliver key capital programs, and assists with recovery efforts. While this seems like a substantial boost, you have to put that in context, says Dan Muscatello. Earlier this year, the Airports Council International estimated that North American airports will have approximately $125 billion in infrastructure needs that must be addressed over the next 5 years. When combined with the recent ongoing projected future losses, the deferral of non-critical maintenance and the reductions in traffic, the future, to say the least, Dan says, will be lean. It therefore becomes imperative that airports identify every opportunity to enhance revenues and reduce costs for themselves and their partners. Continually reminds us that freight forwarders are some of the smartest people in the industry. He says regardless of the circumstances, they are built to adapt and find the most cost-effective and efficient way to deliver shipments to their customers. They work hand in glove with other critical elements of the air cargo industry, the carriers, truckers, government agencies, customs brokers, and the diverse universe of shippers to meet the global needs of the industry. Integrators and e-commerce grants carry an increasingly greater percentage of the world's cargo volumes and have their own unique operating dynamics and requirements, Dan notes. Historically, airports have been the landlords that provide the facilities and infrastructures with, other than a few exceptions, limited interaction by design other than leasing. Several of the larger gateways have cargo communities that work well together in addressing day-to-day issues. What they may be facing over the next several months could be very different. So what can the industry, what can our air cargo industry reasonably expect above all? What can we expect? Well, certainly a need for flexibility. Dan points out new cargo facilities and infrastructure should be configured to accommodate cargo handling and the interface between airside and landside operations. He also points up that landside cargo infrastructure will need to accommodate increased trucking activity with appropriate staging, maneuvering, and roadway geometry to eliminate choke points. Building technology will continue to add efficiencies. Physical planning must reflect and accommodate this. Cargo screening and clearance processes will become increasingly automated, requiring close working relationships with government agencies. Cargo handling companies will assume larger roles in the management and operation of cargo facilities. The experience of regional customs brokers and freight forwarders will facilitate throughout. It will be critical that the physical platforms that airports provide are compatible with any changes to regional and industry shipping changes, and the best way for this to happen is through solid communication, Dan Muscatello said. Finally, Dan says it'll be critical that the physical platforms that airports provide are compatible with any changes to regional and industry shipping changes. That's a big deal, and the best way for this to happen is through solid communication. On the surface, that sounds pretty straightforward, but candid discussions can be an issue. Segments of the industry tend to be parochial about operations, much less strategy. Some firms may need to bite the bullet and extend themselves to facilitate the assurance of a rational plan for the airport to meet industry requirements. All that being said, airports will have an opportunity to help themselves and their partners, Dan Muscatello says, as the common point where industry segments and their operations come together. It seems logical for airports to take the lead either through their existing committees or through the assembly of multidisciplinary cargo response teams to address the issues as soon as possible. Now is the time, Dan says, to first look at the challenges that existed prior to the virus, assess how they have changed and can be addressed, and then take a comprehensive look at building a framework that addresses the long-term needs of the regional airport and air cargo community. It may be too soon to see where the future will take us, Dan said, but that future is taking shape right now with every breath you take. I said that part. And it's not too soon to begin to open up a dialogue that will keep airports and their partners ahead of the curve. Would you like to continue the conversation? I'll tell you what. Write to Dan Muscatello. That's Dan, D-A-N-M, at dbaviation.com. D-A-N-M at dbaviation.com. This is Jeffrey Arendt. Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how Pay Cargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. Karen Creston stepped down February 17th, taking early retirement as head of Lufthansa Cargo Cool Center in Frankfurt. This lady's a true pioneer of air cargo, and she once served as a nurse's aide at a hospital in nearby Darmstadt, Germany. Karen joins an unusually large number of transportation professionals, perhaps you know one, that seem to be taking early retirement everywhere, all over the world in our air cargo industry, as you hear this. This activity, as a global pandemic rages, seems a bit strange to me. It's just kind of a strange choice, I think, also for Karen and Lufthansa Cargo, that can use all of the good, if not great, help it can get as it rebrands LCCC into Lufthansa Farmer Hub at Frankfurt. But since no one ever lost money underestimating what'll happen, what'll demand, or what we should respect, we bid a fond farewell to a 36-year veteran of Lufthansa Group who spent the past 11 years as an air cargo pioneer, as I said, of the first order, bringing experience, expertise, heart, and a total can-do attitude toward the disciplines of advancing the handling of pharma. For her part, it's a smiling goodbye for a lifetime career from Karen, as she said, "Well, my daughter, Jael, lives in San Francisco. And I only once had the opportunity to meet my granddaughter, Ella Lynn, who's now 6 months. 6 months old. So you know what? I'm happy to have more time, and I'm hopeful soon I'll be able to visit the American part of my family." And she puts a smiling face on that one. Karen began her career at Lufthansa working on the passenger side, but before long, her professional training in nursing took hold of her airline career. After Karen learned about the Cool Competence Center, that's LCCC, she was immediately fascinated with the possibilities of bringing her firsthand knowledge of pharma and vaccines and plasma and the whole nine yards to work building Lufthansa offering while it was still located at PCF. That's what she said. "I discovered right away the pharmaceutical industry very much likes talking to someone whose working knowledge is there and understanding of the medical arts in such matters of temperature sensitivity of certain pharma products, for example, or how to handle insulin," she said. We wonder how Karen first became a nurse, recalling that once upon a time back in the early 1920s, airline people, specifically female airline people, flight attendants serving aboard line aircraft here in America, were nurses. It was a time when you really went Jiggle City aloft. The ride up in a Ford Tri-Motor could get rough enough to warrant medical attention. It wasn't about coffee, tea, or milk. It was about what can I do to make your ride more comfortable and also assist you while you're going through these violent reactions. And believe me, those airplanes used to, as I say, shake them up. They were flying wearing blenders, if you get what I mean. She said, I worked at a local hospital in Darmstadt as a nurse's aide during my student years. I got used to the work and I liked the interaction with patients and how the hospital operated, and I guess I never forgot that time. I spent 3 years working in the emergency room where the real action is. Then a close friend who was hired as a flight attendant at Lufthansa and I thought working for this airline would be an interesting career. But having just given birth to my first child, working aboard aircraft and traveling wouldn't have worked. So I was hired here and I worked on the ramp. After a few years on the passenger side, I moved to the Lufthansa Training Center in nearby Seeheim, where I then began teaching what I had learned. One of the more interesting aspects of teaching at Seeheim is the opportunity to attend any of the classes offered there, including training on how to be a station manager for Lufthansa anywhere in the world. How great does that sound? From that training, Karin told me, I was able to work as a replacement manager in some interesting stations, including Kenya and Russia, before finally making my move to Lufthansa Cargo as head of aircraft handling. After going to Air Cargo, there was one more move to the passenger side before finally advancing to this opportunity to go back to the future, utilizing and unitizing my time in the medical arts with my love of aviation at Lufthansa. So during my great career, with the opportunities offered, things came for me full circle. But I really, really love this job. What our team created here in Frankfurt is a decent balance of the best and the brightest, most dedicated people possible. All of our people contributed and are very dedicated to their work building Lufthansa Cargo, Karin said. As she took her leave, bidding all farewell, I thought about a bumper sticker on my mom's car, rest in peace, many, many years ago. Lord, love a nurse, it read. Karin Creston did great work nursing a niche that has become a massively important force in air cargo in 2021. Let's face it, cargo's what the airlines have got right now, and the smart ones are using it all to the max. But you know what? It's the love and the passion and the kinship Karin felt for millions of tons of pharma and air cargo she guided to market for over a decade that I'll remember, and I think we should all remember. We love you back, Karin. This is Jeffrey Aaron. Well, that does it for our broadcast today. That was fun, wasn't it? Thanks for joining us. Thank you for your time this time. Until next time. This is Jeffrey Aaron saying, keep 'em flying. Air cargo. Goodbye. Speak, Lulu. Good, Lulu.